in the things of God. If you turn in your Bibles with me, please, to Galatians 6:1. And I'm reading the King James Version, and I'll read another version as well at some point, but I'm going to go to different versions of the Bible just to give you a little perspective on, you know, I use different versions because sometimes they express things a little bit differently, and you get a more of a clearer picture of it. I thank God for what he's doing in you. I thank you that you're different today than last week. Amen. You know, Pastor Ken preached up a storm last. Yeah. Praise God. And he did something here. I don't know what he did, but we were laughing. Must have been the comedy hour. No. You know, things are wonderful when the Word of God is preached. You know, you can get a good, your faith is settled in the Word. And those of you watching online, we welcome you as well. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 here. I'm going to talk about the spiritual person. Everybody say the spiritual person. I wonder if that's you. Well, it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye, which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of weakness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Galatians 6:1 in the Good News translation says, my friends, if someone is caught in any kind of wrongdoing, those of you who are spiritual. So apparently he's making a distinction of some people are not that spiritual, some people are spiritual. In any wrongdoing, those of you who are spiritual should set him right, but you must do it in a gentle way and keep an eye on yourself so that you may not be tempted also. You know, according to this, spiritual people are sensible people. They're sensitive and responsive to God. They're mature people. They're aware of other people, aware of themselves. And I want to read also 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 here. The scripture says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as unto spiritual. You see the word spiritual. God, he wanted to talk to them as spiritual people. You can see here again, you see Paul is talking to Christian people who are not very spiritual. But they were, of course, spirit beings, born again. They were even spirit-filled and spoke with tongues. We see this whole chapter. You know, you can be speaking in tongues and having the gifts, but not be very, very spiritual. It's kind of almost hard to think that way, but that's the way the Bible shows us. Sometimes the most carnal people can be the ones who have gifts. But that's another topic. And I, brethren, could not speak to you. He said, I could not. Even God wanted to talk to them, but they could not. God could not get through to them through Paul. And Paul, you know, he was an amazing speaker. He was a man of God, full of the Spirit. He was an apostle. At the same time, it says he could not get through to them. God wanted to get through to them. God was speaking through Paul to them, but he could not get to them. Isn't that amazing? He said, but I could speak to you as carnal people and even as babes in Christ. So we see spiritual people are not overly focused on natural things, but they're very keen and sharp concerning the spirit. So our topic today is on spirituality and spiritual growth. You know, sometimes we use the terms like spirituality. Sometimes we use these terms spiritual or spiritual growth in a way that maybe is confusing. So I want to bring this point to you today. If you don't get anything today, just get this topic. Just get what I'm trying to say right now, because this we'll try to get back to this at some point. I'm going to just kind of jump around here today. Here's the point. The condition of our spirituality is just as important as our physical health, or even more important. I would say the latter end, which is your spiritual condition of your heart is more important than anything else, because it affects your soul and your body. Sometimes we use terms that really don't identify, or that we don't use all the time, we don't really understand. Like when we use the word spiritual or spirituality in general terms, it relates to a person's relationship to God and to spiritual matters. It is said having a practice of a spiritual way of life helps us to make sense of the world we live in and helps us to be healthy, especially when we're going through struggles in life. If someone dies, your family member dies, if you are a spiritual person, you will bounce back quicker than the one who is a carnal person. People who are spiritual are able to survive and bounce back from a lot of junk that goes around in their life. You know, a spiritual person is able to make sense of what's going around in their lives. They're sensitive to God and what's going on in and through people as well. Not just the spectrum of God himself, but other spiritual forces that try to dominate. If we say, what is spirituality? I say this, that spirituality is concerned with the condition and position of a man's heart towards his creator God and towards his fellow human in relationship. I'll say that one more time. Spirituality is concerned or concerns the condition and position of a man's heart towards his fellow or towards God, his creator, and his fellow man or fellow humans. I don't like to use the word man because some people feel they're not included in this discussion. So I want to make sure I use terms that everybody can relate to. The following scripture here, I could use almost any scripture, says a spiritual person is aware of the condition of another person's relationship to his creator. And that person is aware. He's very aware, and he's makes sense, or he's sensible, you know, towards what's going on. He says here in Galatians 6:1, let me read again, my friends, I'm going to read the good news. If someone is caught up in any kind of wrongdoing, those of you who are spiritual should set him right. So there we see the person there, he has a relationship with God, and he understands this fellow man that doesn't have maybe broke fellowship with God, and he needs to help this person get back to God. And so he says, but do it, you must do it in the right way, in a gentle way, and keeping your eye on yourself. And I'm just going to read the scripture verse in another version so that it gives you a little bit more detail, a little bit more deeper meaning. And so we look at the Amplified Classical version of this verse of scripture. It says, brethren, if any person is overtaken in a misconduct, sounds like he's playing hockey, or sin of any sort, you who are spiritual, who are responsive to and controlled by the Spirit, should set him right and restore and reinstate him without any sense of superiority. With all gentleness, keeping an attentive eye on yourself, lest you should be tempted also. It seems to be that if you approach people with a sense of superiority, you can get into trouble yourself And we can't be too high and mighty. And none of us is above, you know, each other. We might have different jobs, but we're at the same level with God in terms of our relationship with in Jesus. We might have different jobs. When I first recovered from addictions, I'll use this as an example, and you can use that your own example. You know, we talk about get spiritual. You know, there's people say we need to get spiritual. When I first recovered from addictions, I was told that I must live a spiritual way of life or I'll never get out of the situation that I found myself in. So I began to use the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous because I had apprehensions of my religious background or my religion. I came out of a church which I felt was condemning for me and for my people. And therefore, my superiors or those who were over me told me that God did this to me or did this to us to teach us a lesson. And that I was suffering, you know, it may or may not be totally right, but correct in what they were saying. There is consequences to sin, but I felt I could never attain to what they were trying to say, or I couldn't really connect with what they were telling me. So I ran away from church, just like some of you have been at times, run away from church. How many of you ever run away from church? How many of you ever want to run away lately? You know, we do, you know, I told someone they have a short leash. You can't run too very far. And because of that religious background and training, I really, really felt out of sorts with my belief system. So that's where I started from. I started to going back to God through a bunch of people who were getting spiritual. They're finding they said, find a God of your understanding. For my understanding of God wasn't very good. So I said, I want to find a God that is a loving God, a tender God, a God who has compassion, and that's what I choose to see God as. And so I made my way in the first three steps of the program. And so I started my journey, my spiritual journey. You don't start your spiritual journey when you die. You start your spiritual journey now. Okay, you know, I hear people say, well, he died, he started a spiritual journey. No, you're in another journey. This is a spiritual journey. This is a you know, you need to make sure you got things right here. So I was spiritually dry and really depleted of inner strength. And the first three steps of the program helped me to give my life back to God. I saw that I was powerless in myself over my addiction. And secondly, I saw that I was insane, crazy for doing the things that I was doing and kept doing things over and over and over again. There was no change in me. I couldn't, at first, I couldn't accept that I was actually insane in a lot of ways. Why would somebody jump in a car, crash in a pool, and get all bent out of shape and almost die and do it again next weekend? Why would you go back in for jail and say, whoa, that's a lot of fun, let's do it again? That's insanity. Why would I lose all my friends, my job, my money, my integrity, and my life and keep doing it? That's insane. So I was out of my mind, out of control. So the third step that I came to, which got me on my journey, was that I needed to give way to God into my heart so that he can start working with me. And God will use whatever he can to get you back to him. And that's why I'm grateful today for AA. If you can't get sober in church, go to AA and start there first. And God's still with you. And he'll help you. You know, and God's wonderful. He loves everybody, and he'll change, help you change along the way. So I saw I needed God in my life, and slowly I discovered and I found Jesus again. Came back to Jesus, not the one that I knew before when I was in that religion, but the one that I found at the cross. I wanted peace, and I invited Jesus in my life, and as they say, the rest is history. I'm making history. I wanted peace. You know, spirituality is about wanting peace back in your life. You want to make sense of your world. And Jesus said to some people, weary people, in Matthew 11, 28 and 30, he says, Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry burdens, heavy burdens. There's some people in here that have heavy burdens. You're weary. You're just tired. Oh, yeah, you got a good job. You have a good job and you have relationships, but you're just weary, like you're having a hard time. It's time to give it up to Jesus. You can do it right now. You don't have to wait till we pray. You do it right there when you're sitting in your chair. Nobody will ever know. Look straight ahead and smile. And while you're doing it, just give yourself to Jesus. Give whatever it is you have a hard time with. I did it this morning again. I do it almost every day. He said, take my yoke upon you. That's the teachings of God. You know, when someone's under someone's yoke, in the Old Testament, the yoke is when you're being trained under a master, a teacher. So let me teach you, he says. I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your soul. And for me, in my spirituality, I was looking for that. I was looking for peace. Because my life was full of chaos, confusion. And I needed peace. When Billy Graham says, if you want peace today, if you are suffering and you want peace with God, I'm asking you to invite Jesus Christ in your life. And when Billy Graham said that, I said, I want that. And so I bowed my head. Billy Graham prayed with us. And I received Jesus in my heart on television. I was hearing this on television. I was at home by myself. I was like, I was right there in the front row with Billy Graham. And I cried and cried my eyes out, as they say. you cry so much. I felt so good. I felt so wonderful crying my eyes out. And I heard a voice. I heard a voice. You know, when you're with God, you can hear. Sometimes the devil will talk to you, too. I heard the devil say this to me. You're going crazy. You're losing your mind. And you're having a nervous breakdown. I said, oh, Lord, I love it. Give me some more of this. It felt so wonderful. You couldn't talk me out of it. The last scripture here says, my yoke is easy to bear. My burden I'll give you is light. So what is a spiritual person? When we think about a spiritual person, we come up with all kinds of ideas and definitions and various notions depending on our background. We generally refer to a spiritual person as someone who's in touch with God or is concerned about spiritual matters. It sometimes refers to the supernatural power of God, which doesn't necessarily mean something spectacular, because something supernatural is happening right now. I'm teaching you under the pastoral ministry, the teaching ministry. The Holy Ghost is on me right now, teaching you wisdom and giving you instruction as I'm standing here, and Holy Ghost is with me. This is a supernatural encounter right now, but there's nothing spectacular about it. No one's running around, spinning on their heads, crying and spitting, but there is a supernatural power, a force that's moving right now in this service. It's called a teaching ministry. It's called a pastoral ministry, and I can slap you around spiritually, and you'll feel really good about it. And you'll feel really good. I correct you, and I do all kinds of stuff, and you just, man, this is great. And I thank God for it, because and you didn't even know I was roughing you up a little bit. You know, I had a wonderful experience. I was a little bit bummed out yesterday. And I started wandering the streets. No, I'm just kidding. No. I said, I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the candy store. So I went to the dollar store and said, I'm going to find some candy. What can I find? So I'm going over to the chocolate, you know, and stuff like that. I walk there, and there's a couple of people coming by. I saw them coming inside of my head there. There was a lady probably in her 40s or 50s, and then another older, I guess maybe her mother, could be 60s. And she comes running up to me, and she scared me. She frightened me for a second. She says, hey! And she put her hand out and said, hey, I watch you every Sunday. I love your programs. I love what you got to say. And I also record you. And I said, wow, that's great. Thank you very much. I said, that's a nice way to grow, is to, you know, to watch the program over and learn. And that gave me encouragement. And I said, thank you for the encouragement. I appreciate that. And it's a supernatural anointing to be able to minister the Word of God. And I appreciate the people who tell me and meet me once in a while and in the city and stop. And that happens, every so often. And then some people will not talk to me because they're too shy, or they think I don't see them, but I see them looking at me. There he is in the flesh. But you know, that's scary sometimes, because I told you before, I didn't want to be on television because I don't like the fact that people watch you all the time. And even when, if I go to maybe a drive-thru, they say, hey, I know that voice. But that's kind of scary, because you're always being watched. So I could never blast anybody out. I remember listening to one guy, he says, actually it was Pastor Mac Hammond, he says, I went to somewhere and they were fixing my suits, and I started to get really irate with them. I started telling them, and they said, Pastor, thank you so much. That last sermon was really great. And so you have to watch, and everybody's watching you too, not just me, you. So you're always under the microscope. So it doesn't always have to be, when we talk about spiritual person or spiritual, it doesn't always have to be something spectacular. In churches, we refer to these people, spiritual people, we view them as people who pray a lot, and maybe people who employ special gifts, like maybe the one who speaks in tongues and gives interpretations, or someone who sings out in the spirit. You know, we think about those things, or people who pray for people. They're very charismatic, and we think about that. That's a spiritual person. They have insight and wisdom as well. In native circles where I am at times, we see these people, spiritual people, as those people who lead in ceremonies and those people who have leading roles in community and community gatherings. And we call them elders sometimes, or medicine people, because they teach, they give teachings of our ancestors, of the good way of life. And the Bible itself determines or defines spirituality as things that pertain to God, pertain to the Holy Spirit, and pertain to your spirit. As humans, we're spiritual beings. Whether we're overly spiritual or not, we're still spirit beings. We have a spiritual way of life. In 1 Corinthians 12, 1, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren. You see, in the King James, the word gifts is italicized, and the translators added that on there, and thinking it was going to help us, but it kind of focused us on gifts. The whole chapter speaks more about God and other things other than just gifts. It speaks more about love and the ways of spirit. And so he said, I would not have you ignorant. So God doesn't want you to be ignorant about spirituality or spiritual things. And when we speak of spirituality, what comes to your mind? The dictionary says spirituality is the quality of life of being spiritual in modern times, In society, we all is work and no spirit. Someone who is a spiritual person is a person who is concerned about the human soul or the spiritual position of a man or woman as opposed to material and physical things. In 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 3, in the King James, Paul makes this statement. Now concerning spiritual gifts, or let's leave the word gifts out. Now concerning spirituals, brethren, that's the way it's actually pronounced in the Greek. Now concerning spirituals, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give unto you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God called Jesus a curse, and no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So he's talking about the Holy Ghost, his way and what he does, how he's working through people. And he talks about that there's people who are, you know, working with, they had idol worship in that place in Corinth there. And he was trying to make some distinction there about that. But the we can see here Paul uses the word spiritual. It's a Greek word which means things that pertain to and are of the Holy Spirit. The word gifts, as mentioned, was italicized, that's added there. And you can see Paul says people can be motivated by the Spirit of God. And we want to be motivated by the Spirit of God. We invite the Spirit of God to motivate us. In 1 Corinthians 3:1, Paul makes it clear, a spiritual person is not concerned so much with external things of living, but on the inward connection with God. So a spiritual person is inwardly motivated by God instead of being outwardly motivated by just a physical man, the physical side of man. So we're going to see this a little bit as we go on here. In terms of this, like my simple definition is that spirituality is about you and your relationships with God, your relationship with God, and the people around you. That's what spirituality is. It's about you and your relationship with God and your relationship with other people around you. What is the condition of that? What's your position with people now? And what's your position with God? I mean, it's always set right with God. God already put you on a plane, but there's always things there that come in your life that might separate you in terms of fellowshipping with God without guilt, without condemnation, and that also with other people. Because things separate people. Things can separate you from God. Because God is always near you, but the way we live and act sometimes, we drift away from God. God doesn't drift away from us. He's got us. He said, I have you in my hand. I'll never leave you go. But you might just drift away in your fellowship with God. You know, I'm not saying that you're out committing the worst crimes in life, but sometimes you just get away from God because of you're too busy. Hockey season, I kind of disappear. You know, playoffs. My wife knows that something happens to me. And I go crazy. Especially when the Leafs are playing. But when they lose and they're out of the playoff, I start coming to myself. Come back in line, you know. I have two TVs in case my wife is taking one, I take the other one. Also my iPad and my phone. I'm watching scores all the time. You better pray for Pastor, right? Praise God. How many are you going to pray for me? Amen. I'm glad. So let me just give you here 1 Timothy 4:8. Are you learning something from this? Or am I just kind of, am I alone in this thing? How many of you are with me today? Yeah, there's three of you, four or five. It's coming up now. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. I'm going to read the classical edition of the Amplified Bible. Notice this. For physical training is of some value. Is it valuable to go and do some push-ups? To go for a walk? To push the table away from you? Useful for a little, but godliness or spiritual training is useful of value in everything and in every way. You can see the value of our spirituality, how important it is for this life and the one to come. He says, for it holds a promise for this present life. In other words, if you live spiritually, live for God in this life, things are going to happen for you that is going to be very good, rewarding. And also that reward will follow you to heaven, or you'll enjoy something else up there as well. That's the only thing you'll take, is your good works to heaven. You can't take your money. You can't take your house. You're not going to take all your trophies, your clothes, your socks. You're going to take your good works to heaven. The Bible says they follow you to heaven. So get busy. Right? Some of you have been lost some time here. There's three kinds of people in terms of spirituality that we can find out about, and you need to take a good look at that and find out where you're at, because it's concerning you, the condition and position of your life with God and people around you. Let's become aware of these three kinds of people. Everybody say three kinds of people. Paul makes it clear to us in his letter to the Corinthians. He says, we go back to 1 Corinthians 3:1. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. So Paul here talks about three kinds of people. First of all, number one is spiritual people. Spiritual people. They are the fully mature person who is dedicated to God, and who has developed themselves in their identity with Jesus Christ. That's a spiritual person. Because Paul listed some 133 scriptures, says who we are in Christ and what I can do in Christ and who I am in Christ. That person knows exactly who they are. A mature Christian knows who his Father is. They know who they are. They know their identity. They know what they have as Christians. They know their rights and privileges in Christ. Amen. These people are awesome people, and that's what you guys are at. Although some of you are a little sleepy. You're going to go home, when the service is over, you'll just wake up. The second group of people that we should become aware of is the carnal person, the carnal Christian. You know, there's somebody called a carnal Christian. Don't raise your hand. Have you ever been called a carnal Christian? Okay, so a carnal Christian is the unspiritual, sense-ruled, body-dominated, spiritually undeveloped person in church. They come to church, all right, just kind of just drag their shield in, look for their chair. There's somebody sitting there. Let's go over here. Sits in the church and looks at the watch. And if there's not their favorite song, they're not going to sing. And so, you know, just not in touch with God. They're not like, you know, what if the Holy Spirit moves here? I got to hear from God today. I'm waiting. Now, anybody gets up, if they say something, if God's talking to me, he's going to talk to me. And if the Spirit of God moves, I'm going to really take something. You know, a carnal Christian is always thinking about lunch. I wonder if they can beat us. You know, the Baptist people beat us today at the Chinese restaurant. It does open at 3. I'm going to run to Timmy's and they make the groceries list while they're in church. And look at TikTok and stuff. Carnal Christian. And send TikToks and laugh while they're in service. I've done it a few times to Pastor Ken. I mean, Pastor Steve. I know he likes a TikTok once in a while. Especially if Ken's preaching. Anyway, let's move from the carnal guy. There's somebody called the baby person, the baby Christian. Don't raise your hand. Do we have any babies around here? We have any babies? So the baby Christian is basically a brand new person who's just starting out their becoming aware of their spiritual lifestyle. They're learning how to grow. They're born again, all right, yeah, but they're just starting off. They have their bottle, spiritual bottle, and they're a spiritual diaper. They're sitting in a service, always complaining, crying about, you know, service is too long. But they'll go home and watch TikToks for an hour and a half and have not even know anything. So babies basically are helpless people. They can't do very much for themselves. They can't find scriptures. They can't pray for themselves. They don't know how to give money. They don't know how to receive harvest financially. They never give money. Never. With a double colored N, never. Because they're helpless. They can't do anything. And so if you have a baby church, you can't do anything. You can't pay for a building. People don't give money. They don't have jobs. They might have a job, but they spend other things, right? Some of them even drive big trucks and have nice shoes. Okay, so in Paul's writing, he does make a distinction of these people. The condition, the position of these people. In other words, there's different kinds of people in the church. They're all motivated differently. Spiritual people are the kind, are one kind of person, and the carnal people are one kind, babies are another kind. So we need to define these and become aware of where we are at in this venture. And Paul said, brethren, so he's talking to brothers, in other words, he's talking to church, he's talking to people there, Christians, I could not speak to you as spiritual people. A baby Christian cannot understand a lot of subjects. That's why you have to be careful when you're teaching as a pastor. You got to know who's in the audience. Not everybody doesn't understand, they don't understand the same level, and some people don't get it right away. It takes them a while, and sometimes you say, oh, yeah, I get it now. I've been here for 10 years. Now I understand. You know, so it happens that way. So it's not like, you know, God understands that, but the other thing, yeah, we need to understand that. He says, I fed you with milk and not with meat. So babies don't have teeth. They don't, you know, yeah, that's, ever see a baby born with teeth? Hi, mama. And he says, even as babes in Christ. In other words, carnal people look like babies, baby Christians, but they're not really baby Christians. They're carnal people, haven't developed. Baby Christians and carnal people they look the same, but they're not the same. The carnal people had time to change. They have time to develop, but they never did buy the books. They're always thinking, I'm going to buy that book. I'm going to listen to that. I'm going to go to that conference. I'm going to take pastor's teaching class, but they never show up. This just their hunger level is not there, for whatever reason. So let me tell you something. There are people who are spiritually sick. They don't read their Bibles. They don't pray. They don't go to church. They're not interested in spiritual things. Someone who is sick physically, they're not interested in the table. They're not interested in eating a steak or food. They could feel sick going to the table. They don't want to smell food. They're sick. There are people who are spiritually sick. I use the analogy because sometimes you can be sick spiritually because you don't have any hunger for God. God is looking for people who will search for him, who will run after him, who will want to pray, who want to seek him every day, who pray every day, who read their Bibles every day, who come to church. Every time the service is on, they're there. They make time for it. If you don't make time for church, something else will take over. And what you needed to hear Wednesday, you missed it because, I mean, God will always give you a chance, but then sometimes you miss it because you could have heard something and you went down a road for 10 years. You had to come back all over and you missed something. It's important. I take my job seriously. I was up till 2 o'clock this morning, got up at 6 to study and to make sure I got what I'm going to say right. And I spent all day yesterday thinking about what I'm going to do today and the day before. So when you show up, when you don't show up, how do you think I feel? Oh, no problem. You know? But this is the life of a pastor. You know, we're supposed to, always be up. You know, we need to be the one of the keenest, sharpest people, spiritually speaking. We know everybody's need. And, you know, but you know, we go through things too, right? But the Lord said to me, you know, even if you don't feel like being there, you smile. Tell them it's wonderful to be here today. And I've done that. I've never, you know, put you down. I treat you like you're a Christian. I don't teach you like you're some old sinner. I treat you like you're a person of God. But there's times I'm hard on you because I'm hard on myself too because I don't want you to go out there and mess up. You know? And I have a license to tell you these things because that's my job. Pastor Ken can't do it because he's an associate. I'm the only one that can actually do that only if I give him permission in certain things. He knows that. He almost is that close sometimes, though. He's like the big brother. Notice this in verse. Okay, it says the second half of that verse 2. He says, hitherto. You ever use that word lately? Hitherto. Hey, hitherto. You are not able to bear it. Neither are you able. So baby Christians cannot digest certain foods. They're not ready for certain things. That's why Jesus said to them, you know, I got things to tell you, but you're not able to bear it right now. Brother Hagin used to tell us, I got things to tell you, but I can't tell you right now. He knew things by the Spirit. He could have said, Lord, I could have said this right now. No, I'm not going to say this. I'll say it another time. And just because you know something, if you're a spiritual person, doesn't mean you have to tell people all the time. Right? You don't have to tell. You don't have to go on correcting people all the time. Only if God told you. Right? And it's not your place correcting people on Facebook. That's not your job. It's my job. No, I'm just kidding. No. It's not our job to go, you know, if you're going to go teach on Facebook and people give you, you know, a hard time, that's what happens. If you're going to do that, then you just be ready for that. And don't say, oh, they're out here. They're after me. No, you know, that's what it is, right? Oh, man, Lord. Verse 3. I'm going really slow here this morning. You can tell I was up early. He says, for you are yet carnal. Meaning that they should be spiritual. For whereas among you, Notice this. Envying, strife, causing divisions, or divisions. Are you not yet carnal? And walk as men. The word walk as men in the Amplified says you're walking as like you were unregenerate, like you're not even born again. In other words, a carnal Christian will resemble someone who's not even born again. They act like they're not even saved. If you would took them to court and you charged them for being a Christian, you find out that you couldn't tell if they were a Christian. You'd have to dig. So a carnal person, he can just go revert right back to you where he used to be. In other words, a carnal Christian gets right on to spirituality and live like the rest of the world, not even like any Christianity in their lives anymore. No Bible, nothing. Just acting like, I'm not even saved anymore. That's how far you can drift off from your spirituality, your relationship with God, and your relationship with your fellow human. And people would never tell you're a Christian. Oh, you're a Christian? Yeah, oh yeah. You want to see my tattoo? You would never know, right? So three kinds of people. Everybody say three kinds of people. So spiritual people are not carnal. Spiritual people are not driven by emotions and feelings. But carnal people are. From verse 3, you can see that. They're driven, man. They're ready to fight. They're the Karens, as they say. Is that a good word? I'm not sure if it's a good word. But, you can fight at the parking lot. You can fight at, you're driving down Memorial Avenue like it's like the Autobahn, cutting off people, driving over curbs. You see this in people like that sometimes. So the question is, what kind of person are you? Do you relate to the things that we just presented? Are you the spiritual person, the carnal person, or the baby? Are you aware how you are, how you're driven? Are you aware how you make decisions? Do you make decisions just on a whim because you feel like something or because somebody said something? And you got to make a decision on Scripture, on what the Bible says, on your spirit and God. Do you make decisions on your feelings, circumstances, or situations as they come and go? Spiritual people are, and carnal people, they don't hang around together much. They don't live in the same circle. Because carnal people just take off anyway if you start praying in tongues. I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual, but as carnal, he says. So Paul says you are either a spiritual person, a carnal person, or a baby Christian. These are the kinds of people we need to be aware of. And if you say, let's quickly define the baby for a second. The baby, nobody likes to be referred to as a baby. I would not be exaggerating if I said this. Someone at one time called you a big baby. Oh, you big baby. And somebody might have called you a big baby at one point. I see some chuckling. I hear some chuckling going around. I said, it must be recently. You're a big baby. Anyway, when somebody says that to you spiritually, that hurts, right? That hurts. You know something's wrong when someone's calling you a big baby. Let's notice what a baby looks like. You can tell by their characteristics of a baby Christian and what determines them to be a spiritual baby. Apostle Peter said this concerning spiritual babies. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, he says, as newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You can tell a baby is by observation that, they are babies. They don't know very much. They're not stable. They're infancy in their development. It would be funny if, say, we take Luke here. He don't mind. Let's take Luke. I don't know. He's probably in his 50s, 60s right now. He's got a good job. And say, for instance, he's got a diaper on. And he has a huge through there. And he starts to crawl around the floors. And he says, goo, goo, ga, ga. Ga, ga, goo, ga, ga. That would be pretty sad, wouldn't it be? Luke, you're 55 years old. Or whatever he is. I'm not sure if he's 55. But, you know, spiritually speaking, that's what happens to people. And you see that in churches where people are not taking care of themselves, their spirituality. They're still babies after 50 years in being a Christian. 40 years being a Christian. Paul said at 5 years, at your fifth year of spiritual development, you should have certain qualities about you. To show that you're actually mature. When he was talking to them, if you read the whole chapter in the Bible there, and he expected growth in them. So Peter says these babies, they cannot partake in certain kind of meals, spiritually speaking. They're expected to grow, but they're not grown. So we know babies are helpless. They just can't do very much. So we have to help them all the time. They're always, you ask my wife, I have people who call me Sunday, 8:30 in the morning. Pastor, do you got any scriptures for me? And they don't show up church. I said, weren't you there Sunday morning? They weren't there Sunday morning. It's always, they want me to pray for them about different things. The Bible clearly says you should pray for yourself regarding these areas. No, listen, we pray for people all the time. I take time to pray for people in certain situations. But there are some things that we ought to take care of ourselves. Can you tell me what my dream is? I don't know. It's not my dream. It's not my dream. They want me to interpret different things. But anyway, that could be both carnal. A carnal person is someone that gravitates to his lower urges and nature and just thoughts without God in it. They're as unspiritual as you can get. They're born again. Christians, all right? They're born again, baptized. They went through all the classes. But they're still not developed. Their concern has to do with all their natural compulsions, everything in life. They have just everything right, but they're just not there spiritually. Carnal people concerned just about the natural things. I could go on and on about this, but you know what I'm talking about. So in Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and 6, the good news says, those who live as their human nature tells you to talk to my... So those who live as your human nature tells them to have your minds controlled by what the human nature wants. Those who live as the Spirit tells them to have their minds controlled by what the Spirit wants. To be controlled by the human nature results in death. Not necessarily immediately, but you're living on in that realm. To be controlled by the Spirit results in life and peace. So people become enemies of God when they are controlled by their human nature, for they do not obey God's laws. In fact, they cannot obey it. Those who obey their human nature cannot please God. So, when we talk about this person is controlled, completely controlled just by their own desires, as far as that's concerned in terms of the human nature. So, you can change your status. You can grow out of these things. You can change the way you are, your position, your relationship with God, and relationship with people. You need to become aware of it. So, in conclusion, why am I going back up to the first step again here?
Let's go back to the very end. So, I'm glad that we have editing programs, because all this is going to be edited out, but you get the bad version of it. You can change your status. You can change your level of spirituality. You can grow from a babyhood into the spiritual stage of life if you want to, into the maturity level. You can feed your spirit and change your mind on a good spiritual diet. And by exercising, practicing what you hear every day, every week in church or wherever you, whatever you're feeding, start exercising, acting on the Word of God. Start acting right according to God's Word. Start having a relationship right with God. Go to Him and talk to Him. And if you have to fix relationships around you, you know, as you're walking with God, they'll be fixed as you go along. You don't have to try and do it all in one day. Because some people, they try to get right with God and they start phoning everybody up. Hello, George? Yeah. This is Bill here. I'm sorry I sold your shovels. I didn't even know I lost my shovels. Honey, go check the shed. Sure enough, they're gone. I had one guy says to me, Pastor Ramon, I want to tell you something. I'm really sorry about all this thing I said about you. Excuse me? I didn't even know you said anything bad about me. But you don't have to do it right away. Take your time. Everybody said, take your time. And God will help you. Let's all stand. Did you get something out of that? Yes. Praise God. Amen. Father, we want to thank you this morning for your tender mercies and your care for us. We want to tell you how much we appreciate our salvation. We appreciate being born again. We appreciate being at peace.